Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy?
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
money. That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first
base? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
that's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base.
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players. Around.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's begin.
How did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
Oh, what is on second?
You don't want who on second?
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base! Outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. No, I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
Hello, Flicey. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Now, Flicey, you're a whore, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that maybe I'd like to patronize some of the whores who work on your corners.
Well, I gotta warn you, nowadays whores have very peculiar names.
Funny names?
Nicknames. Example, on the corner I work, who does oral, what uses her hand, and I don't know, takes it in the keister.
That's what I want to find out.
I told you, who does oral, what uses her hand, and I don't know, takes it in the keister.
Do you know the whore's name?
Hell yeah.
Well, then who does oral?
That's right.
The whore that does oral.
Who?
I'm asking you.
And I'm telling you.
Look, what's the name of the whore that does oral?
No, what uses her hand?
I'm not asking you who uses her hand.
Who does oral?
I don't know.
She takes it in the keister.
Look, after I get oral, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
Who does?
That's right, and why not? The bitch deserves it.
Who deserves it?
Naturally.
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 So naturally does oral.
No. Who does oral?
Naturally.
You got it.
So, naturally does oral.
No, who does oral?
Look, what's the name of the whore that does oral?
No, what uses her hand?
I don't know.
She takes it in the keister.
Again, I'm back to the keister. Look, do you have a pimp?
Of course. A fine bunch of whores this would be without a pimp.
The pimp's name?
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
And I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me, who's the pimp? I don't know. She takes it in the keister.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
27th of September, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com. How are you doing, kids? I am recovering from having had 12 prepubescents stay in our house for a sleepover. The pool party started at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then there was pizza, and then there was opening of gifts, and a lot of candles, by the way. And my daughter turned 12, and then the sleepover began. And the funny part, the funniest part of the whole thing, was at 4:25 a.m., finally, my mother-in-law, who is staying with us for a couple of days, came out into the area where the kids were all sleeping and basically said, I'm sleeping with you right now, and the next person to make a peep ends up getting their parents called, and we're going to tell them to come here at 4:30 in the morning and come pick you up and get you the hell out of here. And guess what? Everybody went to sleep. So how the hell was your weekend? Maybe it, in fact, included the Rolling Stones.
Speaking of music, you know about this. The Rolling Stones, God bless them, the Rolling Stones, opened up their big North American tour this week in Chicago. Now, how many folks are planning on going to see the Rolling Stones? People say that it's a great show, and if you go, you know, try to sit down front so you can, you know, smell the Bengay, because it's put on a...
Dave? I was thinking about this last night. About 50 years ago, there was some graphic design person involved with the record company, and somebody said, look, we need this logo for the new Stones album. Throw something together, you know, have some fun. And that guy, or that woman, as the case may be, sat there having no idea that giant tongue sticking out was still going to be used by the Rolling... First of all, who would have guessed 50 years ago the Rolling Stones would still be together, not only together, still performing live and using that logo. I love stories like that. I love stories. I want to say thank you to everybody who wished me a happy birthday last Thursday, and then some stragglers came in over the weekend. I really appreciate it. I'm not an ungrateful prick because I haven't acknowledged that on Facebook. I am on another break, shall we say, a hiatus from Facebook. I'll talk about that somewhere down the line. But your recognition and your comments, very, very much appreciated. Probably the most surprising birthday wish I got came. Remember the two guys who ran the little shop next to the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York back in the 90s, early part of the 2000s, Mujibur and Sirajul? Well, I got to know both of those guys a little bit. It's hot, very difficult to get to know Sirajul because, as you know, Mujibur, if you followed David Letterman, Mujibur always sort of pushed Sirajul to the back. And by the way, he did that it live and in person too, but I did get a birthday greeting from Mujibur Rahman. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. It will be hot in St. Louis today. The record is 92. The forecast is for 92. Tomorrow, I think it's the same thing, 92. They're predicting 91 degrees. Let's talk a little baseball because, as I predicted, this story of the Cardinals winning 16 in a row is no longer just a sports story. It's a news story. This has happened before. I predicted this back in 1999. I said, Mark McGwire keeps this up, especially if Sosa keeps up with him. This is going to end up being a national news story. It won't be just sports anymore. And that's what we have right now. There's a lot of people. You're going to start seeing reporters show up in St. Louis that are news people. We're going to be doing feature stories if this goes on. By the way, the Major League Baseball record is pretty safe. It's 26 straight wins. I'm going to say that was in the early, it was like 1916 or something like that, if my memory serves me correctly. That's all the fun parts. That's all the fun parts. The fact that we're going to be going for 17 straight tomorrow night with Adam Wainwright. Got Milwaukee and then the Cubs. The umpiring crew that did yesterday's game is going to end up hearing from the league because, man, did they mess up. Let's go over this again, all right? So the Cubs have runners on first and second, and there's one out. And there's a lot of baseball lovers, or these people who call themselves baseball lovers, who do not understand the rules. And one of those rules, and it's a little confusing for some people, it's the infield fly rule. And all you really have to know about the infield fly rule is the basics. And that is that the founders of Major League Baseball way, way back in the day said, we don't want to have a situation where people are basically cheating or trying to get away with something. Therefore, if you got runners on base in a force out situation, and obviously first and second and one out is a force out situation. We don't want like a pop up to go up in the infield and then somebody purposely drops the ball or doesn't catch it so you can then force a double play. It violates the spirit of the game, and so they said, okay, you got this thing. The umpire should call it immediately, and they did, as they were supposed to last night. You got first and second, one out, pop up in the infield down third baseline, fair ball, and third base umpire immediately raises his hand to indicate the infield fly rule, which means the following, and it's really simple. The hitter is automatically out, the ball is live, and base runners can advance at their own risk. So that's what happens. Ball goes up in the infield. Nolan Arenado trips over the third baseline, falls down. The ball bounces on the grass of the infield in fair territory. The runner on second takes off for third. Arenado regains his composure, quickly tosses to third, but DeYoung does not tag the runner. That's not a force play anymore because you don't have a runner on first base. You now effectively have a runner heading for second and a runner heading for third. Since the hitter was automatically called out, there's nobody forcing those runners to second and to third. Therefore, if DeYoung doesn't tag the runner sliding to third, the runner is safe, which he was, or he was supposed to be. Now, as the ball is thrown over to second base, the only umpire in the shot was the second base umpire. I don't know if he was the only one who called it. All I know is he did call it, and that was he called a timeout. That's a live ball. It's a live play going on. Here's the windup. Here's the pitch. Swinging a long fly ball. This one looks like it's out of here. Timeout. You can't do that. And you could read the lips of Mike Schilt, who kept telling the umpire, you fucked this up. You fucked this up. And then the umpire, you could read his lips too, saying, that's what we called. Well, Mike, that's what we called. Well, no comment from the umpires after the game. And luckily, everything, you know, this didn't cost the Cardinals the game. It very easily could have. Wouldn't that have been something if their 16-game winning streak ended because an umpire fucked up a call on the infield fly rule? But I had to watch it a couple of times to sort of say to myself, wait a minute, just exactly what are we seeing here? So in that regard, you could actually say that it was sort of in defense of the umpires because it was such a wacky play. But that's what umpires and referees do. They sit around, you know, on buses and just before the game when they're bored and there's nothing else to talk about. That's what these guys do. They just put together scenarios and throw them at each other to see how fast the other official or umpire can come up with the correct call. This is how these guys entertain themselves. I've been around when they're doing it. But as you know, if you've been a regular listener to this show, I'm a big baseball fan, and I say at least twice a year, I see minimum two things. Even though I've been watching baseball since I was about 4 or 5 years old, I see two things a year I've never seen before. Well, I've already seen about 10 things I've never seen before just over the weekend. That nutty rundown on Saturday, and you're just sitting there going, something's going on. Even Dan McLaughlin was like, who are these guys? And the Cardinals are not just hitting home runs. They are hitting epic shots. Tyler O'Neill put two out of Wrigley Field, completely out onto Waveland Avenue. Harrison Bader hitting, you know, tape measure shots. Now, the wind was blowing out, and that certainly helps. But you still have to pulverize that thing for the ball to go that far. Man, these things weren't exactly just falling in the basket out in the outfield. I mean, they were flying out of the place. So the question becomes, who are these guys, and how much longer can they keep this up? And I'm not just talking about the winning streak. I'm talking about as they are propelled into the Major League Baseball playoffs, which start next week. As a matter of fact, let me give you that right now. And we'll just talk about the National League stuff. So the National League game would be, wild card game would be on Wednesday. So that's October 6th, so next Wednesday. And then what else we got? Because the American League would start on Tuesday. And then whoever survives that one game playoff, and right now it would be the Cardinals against the Dodgers in all likelihood. And then on a Friday, you'd start with the National League Divisional Series, the NLDS. And if baseball was smart, they would also come up with new names for that stuff because people talk about the NLDS. That's a stupid name for, you know, the baseball playoffs. Call them championship round one, round two, something like that. Get the word championship in there. You know, football does that. Even hockey does that. They don't come along with something that the NLDS. That's not a marketing victory for Major League Baseball. Come on, you guys. But back to the rules for a minute. I have thrown this at people, and they just sort of look at me like, huh? Let's just say the pitcher winds up. Let's say there's nobody on base. Pitcher winds up. Here's the pitch. Swing and a line drive that hits the pitching rubber and ricochets into the third base dugout. What's the call? Think about that for a couple of minutes, and we'll come back to it later. And just about the time you're thinking, maybe the era of Aaron Rodgers is coming to an end. He needs only, 37 seconds last night to go down the length of the field and win the game in the final seconds of Sunday Night Football last night. And keep your eye on this one, because it's going to get a monstrous audience next Sunday night. Tom Brady, who pretty much got blown off the field in Los Angeles yesterday afternoon. Boy, they did not look good. The reigning Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Bucks. Anyhow, Tom Brady and his boys going up to Foxborough for the very first time since his departure in New England. Somebody paid more than $2,700 for a pair of Michael Jordan's used underwear. They weren't dirty, though. They came in a dry cleaning bag. Monday Night Football tonight, Dallas Cowboys hosting the Philadelphia Eagles in the other gross, overly ostentatious football stadium down there in Dallas. There is a brand new St. Louis County mask mandate that is going into effect. Of 5 years or older, even your little kids got to wear masks. And I was reading more stories over the weekend about some of these COVID deniers who end up getting a severe case of COVID-19, end up in the hospital on ventilators where the doctors explain to them what's going on, what's happening to them, and they're laying there with the ventilator strapped to their noggin, still arguing with the doctors, saying things like, no, I don't believe you. Because so far, all we've heard is about the ones who get it and then are screaming for the vaccine, even though it's too late by then. Once you're in the hospital, it's too late for the vaccine, but they're still yelling, give it to me, give it to me. And it's like, forget it, it ain't happening. Now, on the other side of the coin, you've got people who are on the verge of dying or becoming very, very ill. I don't know why they think they're laying in a hospital bed, but they're telling the doctor, no, I don't believe you. Speaking of no, I don't believe you, it was 57 years ago today, 1964, the Warren Commission report was released to the public 3 days after it was presented to President Lyndon Johnson. It concluded there was no conspiracy in the JFK assassination, domestic or international, and that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. Bullshit. Well, JC, then tell me what happened in November of 1964. And the answer is Lee Harvey Oswald did shoot from the Texas School Book Depository. And one of the follow-up Secret Service agents following the president's motorcade, his rifle went off and accidentally shot the president fatally in the back of the head. And there's a great movie out there where a guy who is a ballistics expert with no political opinion and no agenda, he's not out to prove or disprove anything. He just said, look, I've just been studying ballistics my entire life. I'm one of the most sort of renowned ballistic experts in the world, and that's all I'm going to look at. And the bullets and the wounds don't even match up. This is another one of those things that can be fairly easily explained when you start looking at the science. Then you add the psychology of the whole thing, how weird the Secret Service agents were in refusing to allow the president's body to have an autopsy performed on it. And, you know, they're taking a body out of the state, which was illegal. And Secret Service figured out what happened. And that's why they were trying to cover it up. So there are two separate things going on. But I digress. I know where you were 23 years ago today. You were either there or you were watching it. Mark McGwire, home runs 69 and 70. And this date, 1998.
Swing, high fly ball in the lap. That ball carries to the track. Might leave the park. He did it. A grand slam. And it's 4-0. McGwire with number one.
Stepping in the batter's box, got a plan. Forearms larger than an average man. Break another record, yeah, you bet he can. Gonna put another souvenir up in the stands. He's the king of swing, yeah. You can't pitch fast enough. Why's the other team even need to bring their gloves. Mark McGwire, see the pitcher shaking with fear. Mark McGwire,
swing a long way.
Mark McGwire, see the pitcher shaking with fear. Mark McGwire,
good night. Big Bag has done it again. A three-run home run. Something else. A curveball, and he hung it into the seats out at left.
Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and the man. Biggest Jolton Joe with the streak he ran. See one homer and you'll understand. Gonna send another blast into Big Mac land. Sammy came to play, but just couldn't hit enough. Just not quite as buff as that big red head we love. Mark McGwire. See the pitcher shake with fear.
By the way, so many of the great photographs that you see in sports magazines, the Post-Dispatch, stuff like that, you just see these amazing photographs taken of St. Louis sports celebrities or, you know, into politics, and you know, a president comes to town, some big news story, and, you know, TV stations, that's about video, okay? Well, there is still something to be said for the art of photojournalism. And one of the best there, we got a couple. One is Scott Rovac. You should know that name. And the other one is one of the original K-Shay jocks, Bill Greenblatt, who is an accomplished photojournalist for the United Press International, folks. And he sent me a note over the weekend indicating he's going to be inducted into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame coming up in November. And I responded by alerting him to the fact that I have been accepted into the Waterway Clean Car Club. Fixed his wagon. And once again, we have St. Louis featured on the national stage. In this particular case, Jimmy Kimmel's show the other night. Now you have Simone Biles, who was in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago, and in between doing all that jumping around that gymnastics stars do, she fell in love with Emo's Pizza. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, married a gal from the St. Louis area a couple of years back and has not made it a secret that he's not a fan of St. Louis-style pizza. So Simone Biles shows up on the Jimmy Kimmel show the other night, and Kimmel was waiting for her.
I there's a weird little personal connection we have here. Oh, my wife's from St. Louis, and in St. Louis, there's this pizza called Emo's Pizza. Now, I heard that you love this pizza.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering why, because it's very, very bad pizza.
No, it's not. First of all, that
Guillermo,
is so
mean. Bring the
mean
pizza
to...
out here. Bring the pizza out.
Okay, I'll go get
no,
it.
No, no. Provel is the best.
Provel is,
yes,
the
is.
World's most disgusting cheese.
No, it's not. I seriously, we could fight right now.
Now, here's the thing that's... No, please don't. I don't want to get beat up. But here's the thing. We got one from Emo's, and they're very nice people. I want to say, Guillermo, put it right. I want to say these people are very nice people. But like Provel is like to provolone what Velveeta is to cheddar. Oh, that's not a joke. That's just a description.
I don't discriminate against cheese.
I got this from my wife for Valentine's Day one year, and I was like, would you like some? Would you like any?
I'll have after. You know, we have a show tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Well, and I said, and I put it in the oven because they sent it frozen, and I put it in the oven, and I heated it up, and they cut it into, like, little rectangles.
It's perfect.
And I tasted it. And I said, oh, no, I think there's something wrong. And I thought I actually, I accidentally melted the plastic onto the cheese. My wife tasted it. She goes, no, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah. It's so good.
Mm.
Okay, score 1 out of 10.
Well, sometimes you get to know the judges.
Yeah.
And they give you a better score. Actually, this one's better than the last one I had. It's almost as good as a supermarket frozen pizza.
It's a perfect 10.
We got to move you to Brooklyn. That's where you need to be.
Okay.
You need to be in Brooklyn so you can have real pizza.
We do have a tour stop there.
That's Simone Biles. I tell you, when she's finished with gymnastics, she's got a future. She's so sharp. So many of these young gymnasts, I've not made it a secret, my admiration for Allie Raisman. My God, is that woman appealing. One of the ways we describe the podcast is that we do politics only when necessary, and this might be one of those times. Just keep your eye on the names Scalise and McCarthy with regard to the January 6th insurrection attempt, okay? Scalise and McCarthy. Just remember those two names as they apply to the January 6th insurrection attempt. I'll leave it at that. Let's talk some anniversaries. Yesterday was the anniversary of our 1990 award from the Riverfront Times, which in their readers poll awarded us with the best morning radio show. It should be pointed out we were also listed as the worst morning radio show. That's a true story. I did my last show on 93.7 KSD all the way back in 1991. One of these days I'll tell the whole story. 1997 in New York for a movie called The Matchmaker, which is a really, really underrated film. And I think it because it has Janine Garofalo, and she's got one of these, she's one of these people that even the liberals say, I don't think so. It's not a perfect movie. It's not even what I would call a particularly well-made movie, but it's a real good story. And they slapped a lot of makeup on her, and she looks really good in this movie, and she's one of the few major stars in the film. Dennis Leary is in it too. And just look it up on IMDb, and maybe your interest will be piqued a little bit, but I'm telling you, this movie's got some really, really memorable stuff in it, and it is just beautiful because it's shot in Ireland. Also, The Ice Storm, which was one of those really early Ang Lee movies he went on to do, The Hulk and stuff like that. But The Ice Storm is really sort of a semi-creepy movie with Sigourney Weaver and St. Louis's own Kevin Kline. 1998, and again, this is yesterday's date, 1998, was the greatest interview I never got. The press box was absolutely jammed covering the Maguire home run chase. So I'm standing because there's no place to sit down because journalists from all over the world were in town following this thing. So I'm standing there and the inning ends, maybe a third or fourth inning. I look to my right and as God is my witness, it's Bruce Springsteen and his son, who appeared to be about 10 years old at the time. And I was like, holy shit. So I pulled my tape recorder out of my pocket, stuck the microphone in, hit record, and just very, very calmly approached him and said, Bruce, I'm a reporter here in town, which I probably didn't need to say because I'm standing in the press box. And I said, would you like to just say a quick hello to all your friends here in St. Louis? And he's like, no, man, we're just trying to play it cool here, low key. This is with my son, you know, hope you understand. I was like, absolutely, have a great time. And he just looked so appreciative of the whole thing. And the follow-up to that story, by the way, is that after Maguire hit number 67 and 68 on that Saturday afternoon, Springsteen and his son got in the car and headed to the airport, got about halfway there, and he said, you want to go back and go to the game tomorrow? And his son said, sure. So they turned around, they banged a UE on 170, came back, got their hotel back, and were at the game, this time in a private box that the Cardinals provided. And he was there for number 69 and 70 the next day, the last day of the season. Like I said, best interview I never got. Kearney's DUI on this date back in 2004. Why bother with that? And on this date, 1996, I was in New York. Man, when you're a kid on the south side of Chicago, and you're just thinking, boy, I would really love to get into this broadcasting thing. I think I would be really good at it. You never think to yourself, and one of these days, I'm going to be sitting 2.5 feet away from Woody Allen interviewing him.
The A-List Interview.
Woody Allen and his masterpiece, Annie Hall.
What things come to mind when you think about the release of this movie?
At the time, I didn't think it was going to be as accepted as it was. I thought it would be another movie of mine. I hoped that it would be a success. You know, it's not even my favorite movie that I've made. I mean, I'm delighted at its success, but it was unexpected. But that one had a kind of inexplicable charisma at the time for people.
And with that, we say thanks. It is the September 27th edition of the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com. Again, thank you for all the birthday wishes on social media. I'll be back up on social media, particularly Facebook, in a couple of weeks. It's a long story. Maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you for spreading the word. The more people we have listening every day, the more things we can do. And just let everybody know that we are here at jconline.com. We publish free every weekday morning at 7 o'clock. We archive all the shows. You can email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook is The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We thank our technical advisor, Everett Marshall. You guys have a great day. And tomorrow, we'll start really cranking it up as the Cardinals go for 17 straight tomorrow night at Busch Stadium. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.